imagination. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And today we're hopefully going to have Dr. David Berman with us. And we're going to be talking about the war in the Middle East. We're going to be talking about what's happening to our culture. At one time, of course, everybody knew that America was a Christian nation, founded upon biblical principles, but so much of that has changed today. And today, of course, we're involved in a struggle in the Middle East. In fact, indeed, if you look at what's going on in the Near East closely, you realize, of course, that Israel is fighting as a proxy for the United States, just as Hezbollah is fighting as a proxy for the Iranians, and it is really a war of the United States against Iran. Where are we going? Where is this all leading to us? Well, our guest this evening is Dr. David Berman, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about his amazing story. How it came is that he came to become a Christian, and of course his views on what's taking place. So, Dr. Berman, please take up the story there.
Well, first, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. I am, just a quick thing about me, I'm Jewish. I was born to a Jewish family, Bar Mitzvah, an Orthodox synagogue. Came to an understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. That happened to me when I was 19 years old. I realized that Jesus is indeed the Messiah prophesied about in the Old Testament, and came to a saving knowledge of Christ at that point. From there, I went on to walk with the Lord, start a business as a young man, successful business. Then went to ministry school and got my bachelor's degree, then master's, and then doctorate in theology. I'm a pastor. I'm an author, and I travel and speak on radio and TV all over the world, or actually all over the country, but a lot of the TV has gone all over the world itself, broadcast-wise. And I'm very concerned about the culture. I've been discussing these issues for 20 years, what's happening with the culture. We are in a war between, I would call it a spiritual civil war within our own country. Those of us who believe that this nation was founded on certain constitutional principles, which are based on an understanding of who God is. Of course, the Declaration of Independence speaks about how we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That was the revolutionary thing about the American Revolution, is that we were telling the kings of England, the King of England and the kings of Europe, that they do not have the ability to give or take away rights. There are certain inalienable rights that God gives, and that was really the revolutionary thing about the American Revolution. And as we've gone on in our country, we've really steeped ourselves into liberalism the last 40 or 50 years, this sort of relativist viewpoint. And what we really have here is a clash of the understanding of our founding principles with this liberal relativism, which we've been fighting in this culture war. And if you look at what's happened to our country, it's become very partisan or very divided, and it's divided for a reason, because there are many people that believe the nation is going down the wrong way from the standpoint of its moral fiber, and there's some that believe in relativism and anything goes. And this is translating into the fighting in the political sphere.
And of course, I think most people are aware of the fact that we're seeing increased crime and violence in our country. Today, we have over 1,200,000 people in prisons across America. Proportionally to any other country in the world, we have more people imprisoned. And this reflects the increasing lawlessness in our society and a direct result of the fact that this country has turned its back on God and morality. And if there is no God, then, of course, who's to determine what's right and wrong? And if you can get away with it, why not go ahead and do it?
Well, this is exactly the point, sir, isn't it?
Right, exactly the point.
Yeah, let's look at the despot of North Korea, for instance. I mean, here is one of the most evil men on the face of the earth, and he comes from a philosophy called communism, Marxism.
Well, that's all. We'll be right back, Dave, in just a moment here.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains, it eventually melts. The water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of these portable systems are the Black Berkey Purification Element. So powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, harmful heavy metals, and yeah, they can purify that downward flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving you healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs. For more information on powerful Berkey purifiers, call Numa Lane at 888-803-4438. Call today, that's 888-803-4438, or visit us on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple, step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. David Berman, and we're talking about the changes in our society and how they've come about. And of course, when a society loses its moral foundation, can that society survive? Will you pick up the story there, Dr. Berman?
Yes, I was mentioning before the break that people wonder why the North Korean leader is such a despot. So he's so evil. He's the possibly one of the most evil men on the face of the earth, concerning how he treats his people. And it's not hard to understand if you understand anything, if a person understands anything about human nature. The Bible teaches that the human nature is corrupt. And the leader of North Korea, he's a Marxist, he's a communist, he's a Stalinist, and he doesn't believe there's a God. There's nothing to answer for. There doesn't know one to answer to. His full viewpoint of things is that whatever feels right for me is what I'm going to do. It's this sort of Darwinian mindset of survival of the fittest, and no one else matters. And this is what happens when at the end of communism is always murder and destruction. Of course, during the time of the Soviet Union, only 10% were members of the Communist Party, but they controlled all the guns. And they destroyed everybody else, and everybody else waited in line. But you didn't see the party officials sharing their vacation homes with the average folks, because that's what their mindset, their worldview was. Well, conversely, the viewpoint of America has been God is watching us. God has allowed us to establish this nation. People have certain inalienable rights given by God, not given by or taken away by man. And if you lose that understanding, then you get what we have happening in our country, which is a loss of the understanding of the original intent of the Constitution. And unfortunately, you get rulings like eminent domain rulings, which take away people's property, completely against what the way the Constitution has established that what eminent domain is supposed to be. And we have this never-ending sense of loss. It's a slow, it's like for the frog in the pot of water, slowly taking away by usurping authority over the people the rights of us. And the reason for that is because we do not believe that God exists anymore. This is the problem with our nation. If you ask most people, do you believe in God? Most people in America, surveys show, do believe in God. The problem is, it's not the God of the Bible they believe in. They believe in whatever God they sort of conjure up in their mind, sort of a buffet religion. You know, I like this part about Christianity, I like that part about Buddhism, I like that part about this thing over here, and I'll add it all together and I'll believe in, quote, my own way, end quote. And that means that man, now in America, is attempting to reshape God in his own image instead of us being shaped in the image of God. This is a fundamental problem with our society. We've lost our way.
I certainly wouldn't disagree with you at all. I certainly share your concern about that. But how does that play over into what's happening as far as the Near East and the Mideast today? Is there any relationship between what's happening to America and our involvement in war after war after war?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said about that, because we have become weak as a nation, and therefore our enemies are more interested in fighting us. The worldview, I was talking on the radio last week, some show I was on, and somebody called in and asked me, so well, what does it matter what God you believe in? As long as you say one nation under God, what does it matter? I said, well, it matters completely, because if you took 100 million Muslims from the Middle East and you brought them into America, and you removed 100 million Americans, you would have a drastic change in the worldview of your country. Because it's not the same God. The God of the Muslim is not the same. And so we have become so politically correct now, we cannot say that anymore. Even the President of the United States, when asked about it, he claims to be a Christian. When he was asked about it, he was asked, do the Muslims worship the same God that you do? He said, yes. Well, that's not true.
That's not true. And I really think it's so tragic that nobody actually tells him that the Muslims worship a different god. They worship the moon god. And, of course, there is an entirely different approach to life and to religion within the Muslim world and within the Christian world. And we look at the world through entirely different prisms. And because of that, we'll find that over in the Muslim world today, many people are raising their children to become terror bombers, so to become terrorists.
Yes.
And the other thing is, of course, that the Muslim is not worried about getting killed. I mean, he has no fear of death because as soon as he's killed in battle, he goes to their paradise with the 72 virgins there. So,
right.
You know, whereas, of course, we want to live. Certainly, some people will give their lives for their country, but you don't go into battle hoping you're going to die. The Muslim actually does. It's incredible to think that way.
Exactly, and they're raising generation after generation to believe this kind of nonsense, that we're too politically correct to say the truth. You know, there's the multicultural crowd, which keeps telling us that the Judeo-Christian ethic is wrong, that our nation has not been a great nation. Yes, we've had our problems, of course, because any institution that's run by humans is going to have problems. But if you look around the world at the Muslim nations, I mean, these people are living in the Stone Age. They can hardly build a bridge. I mean, these people are living in the Stone Age. They have all kinds of economic problems. They have tyranny. This is what they live in. Now, here you take a small nation like Israel, which is a tiny, tiny speck of land in comparison to the Muslim lands. If you look at a map and you look at Israel, it's a tiny little piece of property. And within that piece of property, when the Jews really only control outside of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, even a smaller piece of property. Yet they have done very well economically. And why is that? Because although the Jews are not Christians, they still have a certain ethic from the Old Testament, a certain ethic of right or wrong. Jews don't strap bombs to themselves and blow up children. Neither do the Palestinian Christians. The Palestinian Christians do not strap bombs to themselves and blow up Jews or anybody else. It's the Muslims. Now, someone asked me, are you saying all Muslims are terrorists? I'm saying, no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying 99.9% of the terrorists are Muslims. And we ought to be able to say the truth about that. But we can't because we're politically correct. We don't have free speech in this country anymore. If you don't agree with the left, and by the way, what blows my mind more than anything is that the left in this country seems to be rooting on our enemies, seems to want our enemies to win. It's It's mind-boggling. We are living in a lawless generation. We've turned our back on God, and we've got to wake up and smell the truth. And that's why I wrote this book called Wake Up and Smell the Truth. I hit every single sort of hot-button topic that we deal with. We've been arguing in the culture war. And I give logical reasons why we ought to rethink the way we're going and go back to the Judeo-Christian ethic in these areas. Everything from taxes to abortion to United States sovereignty, and on and on. Can I get my website up?
All right, and I've been to your website, and I certainly think it's a very, very good one. But the problem is, how can we go back? Certainly our children are indoctrinated in school in atheism. They're told that there is no God, that they're not even allowed to mention God in schools.
Yep.
And, of course, they're taught evolution. And if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie.
That's right.
And then, of course, they're indoctrinated in internationalism, globalism. And yes, even in many of these socialist concepts, which we share our concern about. So how can we possibly hope to go back when the next generation, the generation that will replace us, has been indoctrinated in things which, in a philosophy that hates God?
There's only one way. I'm a student of history. There's only one way that any nation makes a change or any culture makes a change. And that is information. That's why the despots, the tyrants, always try to stop information and the free flow of speech and ideas because they're afraid of losing control. Right now we have an indoctrination taken on in the public school system where they are indoctrinating with secular humanism and evolutionary worldview. They're absolutely and diametrically opposed to God and to the Bible. So how do we combat that? Well, we've got to give the kids the information, we've got to give people information, we've got to make arguments that are logical, that help them to see the errors of their ways. So when I wrote this book, I wrote it in that form on purpose. I didn't write the book as just a Christian book, just for Christians to read. Although I mentioned some Christian things in there, obviously, and I mentioned some scripture in there, obviously, I really geared this book towards anybody who's sort of sitting on the fence and wants to understand these viewpoints. Okay, why do you feel the way you do? And is it logical that we should give up our sovereignty to the United Nations and so on? And so if every chapter is that, it's written in that way because we have got to speak up, educate our kids and as many people as we can to make a change because we're not going to make a change back unless we get information out there. That's the only way throughout history, the only way that we have had a groundswell of citizens that are willing to take on the tyrants that's been throughout history. And so it's not going to be coming from the highest political establishments that we're going to have change. It's going to come from the grassroots.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I only hope and pray that there will be an opportunity to reach enough people, and especially the young people. And yet, of course, so many of them seem to be really, they don't care. They take freedom for granted. All they want is a good time. And, you know, they want to chase girls or the girls want to chase boys and the music and the sexual promiscuity and the immorality. It seems to become almost a normal way of life in what was once a Christian nation.
And what's amazing about it, you know, one of the things I read in the Bible, which, you know, we're not at this particular time yet, but in the book of Revelation, when it talks about the judgments of God, that it says, and they still will not repent. There's a, and you know, that particular scripture we haven't reached yet when he's talking about the actual, you know, the very end time. But the mindset I think we have reached, you know, people, can't we see the families falling apart? Can't we see that kids are going to psychiatrists on psychological drugs? Can't we see that, you know, the school system is down the toilet? Can't we see any of this yet? We still won't repent of our ways and change because the ultimate sin of mankind is the sin of pride. And pride is the sin from which every sin stems from. And it would be prideful. The human pride which says, I cannot admit that we have gone wrong in turning away from God. So the elitist in the institutions of education, in academia, in the media, they can't admit it. Because they have been trusting in the secularism religion. And to admit that they have been wrong would be to admit that the religion they've been trusting in, this false humanism secularism nonsense, has failed them.
Well, I often like to tell my listeners that there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned its back on the God of the Bible. Where God has not eventually turned his back on that nation. The only thing that is going to change America's revival, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I feel that, what I do is aimed at that, and hopefully that we'll educate enough people. But, of course, my job is not to succeed. My job is to get the information out, and I think that's the job that Dr. Berman has taken unto himself. Well, once we get back, we're going to invite your calls at 1-888-379-2552. 888-1-800-259-5791.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it is possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.laysmedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Genesis Network, and our guest is Dr. David Berman. We're talking about his book, which addresses the culture war that is underway in America today. And it is a culture war, and we're losing that war. But trouble is, so many people don't really understand it. We have things so good in America. We live a wonderful, affluent life. And even though we see changes taking place, most of us really are not directly involved in it. And so as long as we can live our lives and have a good life and be relatively prosperous, most people are not going to really get too concerned, which is why the best thing that I think could happen to America would be some draconian events, and I really feel that they may not be too far away. How do you feel about that, Dr. Berman?
Well, I think we certainly have lost our principles, and one of the main principles that we have lost is, you know, when our founding fathers founded the nation, and most people listening to your show probably understand this, but for anybody who doesn't, they had always mentioned posterity. They were concerned about not just themselves, but they were concerned with making sure that their children and children's children lived in a great country. And unfortunately, we seem to lose that understanding of how our nation ought to be. I'm concerned about my kids and my grandkids, and most people are only concerned about, you know, whether they're going to get their six-pack at the end of the week or not. This is the problem with our nation, because if we wait too long, we're going to lose what we have, and we've got to get informed. So Wake Up and Smell the Truth was written for that reason. I have got to get people to understand these things, because I'm concerned about this country.
Well, I certainly applaud that, and I think the biggest thing is we've got to make people realize there's a problem. I got started in this whole affair 44 years ago when I suddenly realized there was a problem. And until it's still the old adage, you can't sell life insurance till you can convince people they're going to die.
Right.
I don't think we're going to convince most people that they need a personal relationship with our Lord. They need to be involved in this truly spiritual battle for the survival of Western civilization, because they have a vested interest in what happened, not only for themselves, but for posterity, as you say. But how are we going to make them realize how bad things really are, that they have to get involved? And I know you've written a book, and is it having an impact, you think?
Well, you know, since this particular book has been written, I have literally spoken to over 50 million people about these issues through TV and radio. And so I have no way of measuring how much impact that has. But what you said in the last segment, you said all you can do is do your job, and that's what I'm trying to do. I think the bottom line here is that we need to be faithful in sharing the message of the gospel as believers, and we leave the rest to the Lord. I mean, obviously, you and I can't personally change everybody's heart, but I do believe that God uses, of course, His Word, and also the message of His messengers when they write books. Not that my book is on par with the Bible, please do not misunderstand me. All I'm saying is God can still use the principles that I'm talking about in the book and the positions to shake somebody to maybe open their heart up a little bit, so maybe they'll be more open to what this nation was founded on.
Well, you know, you told me telephone when we first talked about how you came to, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, most people, you know, do not change from one faith to another, unless there is something happens that has a profound impact on them. And I've heard stories from so many Jewish people who've become Christians that, you know, I honestly believe that for one reason or another, why God has spoken to a number of Jewish people who become Messianic Jews. What happened to you? What actually motivated you to become a Christian?
Well, I, as being raised a Jew, I believed in God. I believed in God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament. And I believed that from creation, always, even as a kid when I was being told evolution was true, I never believed it. I would say, you know, it makes no sense to me. There's creation, and the creation bears witness to the Creator. I knew that instinctively. But I didn't know who God was. And my religion, Judaism, was pretty far from really an understanding of even what the Old Testament was, as Judaism has become more of a just that sort of an ism instead of really an understanding of the Old Testament. And so I got to a place in my life where I said, I have got to know who God is. I have to know who God is. And it was a sort of a crisis point in my life where it wasn't enough for me just to believe God exists out there. I need to know who He is. And I'm giving you, of course, a short version of this. But this happened over a period of time. I got to the point where I cried out to the Lord, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, I'm Jesus. And I was driving in my car at that time. I had a van at the time. I was driving down the road by myself. I was 19 years old. And I accepted Christ in that van, really not having a clue what I was doing, because I didn't understand anything about the New Testament, except I heard the voice of Christ. It's kind of like a Paul experience.
And I think that really people really going to have to cry out and ask God, you know, who are you, and will you take over control of my life? And that's the time when your life changes. I know my life changed. I didn't hear a voice at all, but I gave my life to the Lord, and I hope many of you out there in the listening audience will decide to as well. Because believe me, we all need the Lord. We'll be right back.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest today is Dr. David Berman. Would you like to get your website out again and how people can get a copy of your book?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is go to my website, wakeupandsmellthetruth.com. Wakeupandsmellthetruth.com. If that's too much for you to write, you can also, it's the same site you can get to by going by punching in your computer, revberman.com, R-E-V-B-E-R-M-A-N, revberman.com. So it's revberman.com, R-E-V-B-E-R-M-A-N, or you can type in wakeupandsmellthetruth.com, and you'll go right to my website. Also, for everybody who's listening, if you get on my website, you can sign up for my free e-newsletter, which I send you an article every month giving you some great information as to how to argue our viewpoint on these issues. And it's a timely article. You can look on the website under articles. You'll see a couple examples of past articles. But sign up for my newsletter. It's free. And every month in your email, you'll get an article from me. You can also order the book right off the website. You can order it at your local Christian bookstore, too, if you'd like. But going right to the website is the easiest thing to do. Just click right on that, and you can get the book, Wake Up and Smell the Truth. We've got to get this information out on how to argue our viewpoint on these things. I think, my friend, that there's a lot of folks that agree with you and I. One of the problems that they have is they don't know how to articulate the information. And this is a problem because not everybody's a public speaker. Not everybody feels comfortable in front of people. They don't take to it so easily. We all have our giftings. What my book does is gives you the ability to use these points when you're sharing with somebody what's going on with our country.
And of course, one of the big problems is that the children have really been so indoctrinated with all these ideas, you know, that all religions are equal or that there's some truth in all religions. And certainly there's an element of truth in that, but they're not completely true. I mean, certainly most religions say that we should not be killing. Thou shalt not kill. Or that's killing is looked down on by all religions. But how would you respond if I said, look, all religions are basically good. Why would we want to pick one religion over another? Shouldn't we all want to try to get along together in this world?
Well, what I would respond is like this. Most people look at the teachings of Christ. If they don't understand the Bible, look at the certain teachings of Christ, like, you know, he said, love your neighbors yourself and these sort of things. And they say, well, don't all religions agree with those sorts of things? And they think, well, I'm a Christian if I believe in some of what Jesus said about that. But those issues are not the crux issues of what the Bible teaches. The doctrine of man, what is man's problem? That we're sinners. The doctrine of Christ. Christ is the Savior. The doctrine of salvation. You must be born again. These are the issues that there's no other religion deals with these. They're all, if you look at most religions, are dealing just with your behavior. But Jesus deals with the actual human heart and with the spirit. What's going on with us? We're tainted by sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We must be born again. And I remind your listeners that when he talked to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again, he was speaking to a very religious man at the time. There's a difference between the worldview of a Buddhist and the worldview of an Islamic and the worldview of a Christian. It's not just some God out there somewhere. We believe and we serve the God. There is no other. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his son manifest in the flesh, God himself, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins and rose bodily from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He is risen and seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is who he said he was, who he is. He is God himself manifested. And so this is completely different than what Islam teaches. And although there may be some similarities in, you know, be nice to your neighbor or whatever, those are not the crux issues about what the deal is with mankind and what in heaven and salvation, those issues. I would say that the secularists usually talk about how they love all religions, you know, except the truth is they don't. They hate Christians. They absolutely hate Christians. They don't want anything to do with Christians. They don't want Christians to have a voice in the public square. They say that they don't want any establishment of religion when someone mentions Jesus. What they really do is they do want an establishment of religion. They want to establish and have established the religion of secular humanism. That's a religion that they've established in the public school system. And it's diametrically opposed to what the religion of Jesus Christ is, what the relationship, I like to call it, is with Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I think that the one thing that people have to understand is there really is a conspiracy against God. There's a conspiracy against Christianity. That's what it's really all about.
Absolutely.
And once you understand that, so many things make sense. If you don't understand that this conspiracy has been going on for thousands of years. It was,
yeah.
In the Old Testament, it was a conspiracy against the God of the Bible. In the New Testament, it becomes a conspiracy against Jesus Christ. But the important thing to do is to understand that they're one and the same. Wouldn't that be a fair statement?
Well, there's no question about it. There is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy is a spiritual conspiracy which manifests itself in the natural realm. Some of the people who are fighting against Jesus don't even know they're fighting against Jesus because they've been taken over by the devil. And we have entire institutions that are literally hell-bent on destroying any vestige of Christian heritage. If the ACLU had its way, ultimately had its way, what it really wanted, they would have every cross in Arlington Cemetery taken out. This is how nuts these people are.
Well, of course, there are not very many there. If you've ever been, I'm sure you've probably been there, but the last time I was there, you know, I searched and searched, and I finally did find an older place where there were a few crosses, but most of them have been taken out and replaced just with a headstone. It's the most amazing thing to see the influence there, this hatred of Christianity that has removed most of the crosses from Arlington.
And, of course, you have all the battles going on every year when it comes to Christmas time. You can't mention Jesus. It's funny. The world wants the money from Christmas, don't they? But they don't want to mention Jesus in anything. And if you do, you know, you're trying to establish or push your religion. It's so ridiculous. On my website, if you look at one of my articles, I wrote an article about Michael Newdow, the guy who's trying to get the Pledge of Allegiance to remove from the schools because it mentions under God. And I write an article about this guy and where he's coming from. He wants... Under the guise of not having an established religion, he wants an established religion of state church, de facto church of secularism. And, you know, we teach our children that God created the heavens and the earth. And then they're sent to school. You know, when they go to school, what does the school teach them? No, there is no God. This is all an accident. Well, on the face of it, it's absurd. It's an accident. But they're diametrically opposed to what the will of the family is. And this is one of the conspiracies that there is. Public education is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a conspiracy of the devil himself to indoctrinate our children with false teaching.
Well, you know, one of the things and major problems of today is an awful lot of ministers don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe that there is a force of organized evil. They think everything is love and goodness and warm fuzzies. And until people understand there really is organized evil out there, it's very difficult to either understand what's going on or to oppose it.
Well, of course, many ministers today, not all. I'm a minister. You know, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a senior pastor of a church. And there are a lot of good ministers, don't get me wrong, but a lot of ministers today are simply afraid to say the truth because they're afraid of losing their position. And this is a very sad time which we live in. Because when ministers start believing they work for the church rather than God, they become concerned about offending their boss, which is the church people, instead of offending their real boss, which is God. And so I'll stand up in my pulpit, I'll tell the people in my church, say, you have to understand something, I don't work for you. I work for God. And you know, the minute I start thinking I work for you is when I'm going to be concerned about what you think more than I think about what God thinks. And I'm not interested in that. So if you don't want me to be here, you can just let me know. But I'm here as long as God has me here. If you receive me, I'm going to be here. But I'm not going to compromise the Word of God for any reason. If you want to get up and leave, you can do so. Now, you won't find too many preachers like that anymore in America. I think that's a problem because I believe the church would get revived, seriously revived, with some serious preaching of the Word of God. I think we'd have a revival in this nation. I really believe that.
I believe you're absolutely right. I believe that the real problem really starts at the church house, and we're not going to change things in the White House till we change things in the church house.
Yeah.
And we wish we had more ministers who are willing to get up and say that. And there really is this tremendous feeling on the part of many ministers. They don't want to offend anybody, so they don't speak out against the public schools because they have public school teachers in their congregation, and they don't speak out against what government's doing because they have people who work for the government. And so certainly the major purpose of a minister is to preach the Word of God, but sometimes he has to take a stand on the moral issues. And I don't think he ought to be telling people to vote either Republican or Democrat, because
right.
I'm not certain that God is a Republican. But
right.
But you know, we've got some real problems in our country because of religion.
Yeah, I think our churches have failed desperately. I actually have a chapter in my book, Wake Up and Smell the Truth. The chapter is called What Happened to the Church, in which I deal with the liberalism that came into the seminaries and came into the churches. And our pastors are afraid to speak the truth. They're afraid of losing their positions. They're afraid to offend anybody. They're afraid of losing members or potential members. It's funny. I have not found any of that to be true. I found that when you teach the Word of God, you teach about being born again, you explain the Scriptures to people, and you argue your viewpoint, the biblical viewpoint, with not only the power of the Holy Spirit in you, but with the logic of the Spirit of God can give you to argue your viewpoint to make sense to people. I found people gotten saved. I've led hundreds to Jesus here, hundreds, and I'm in a tiny little area of New Hampshire.
Well, I think that's really wonderful, and of course, it's really preaching the Word of God. If you've got your parishioners ready to understand what it's all about, then they're going to follow you when you're telling them the truth about what's happening in our society. Because of course, it's one thing to understand the gospel, but then how do we apply it to where we are today? And I'm not suggesting that we want to become environmentalists, because there's so many, they've infiltrated the church, and so much of the church is being used now to push you these environmental ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And have you run into that?
Oh, well, not. Yeah. Listen, the National Association of Evangelicals is getting liberal even into this stuff.
I know.
My God, what is going on with this country? We have, if you're familiar with Barna's research.
Yes, I am.
Yes, Barna's research is troubling. I mean, the things you said earlier about so many pastors don't believe the devil exists. Most people sitting in Christian churches, which claim to be born again, the majority does not believe you that Jesus is the only way. The That's what's happening, because our seminaries are becoming corrupt. They're not teaching the Bible anymore. We've got this nonsense academic freedom stuff where people get into Christian schools and think they could teach things that are ungodly. And we have ministers growing up in this and all kinds of liberalism coming in. And when you, like me, and you stand up, and believe me, I mean, I tell you that I stand up, and I do, but I take criticism. I mean, I am, yikes. I get all kinds of names thrown at me and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you got to stand up for what you believe in your country. My God, this is America, the greatest country in the world.
Well,
and we're watching it wither away slowly. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but slowly. And eventually you wake up and you realize it's not America anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not being criticized, you're not doing anything. And when I get these vitriolic, horrible letters calling me all these terrible, terrible names, I know I must be doing something right.
What's funny about it is I receive the same kind of hate mail. And lots of times I always receive it from these very lefty liberal types, you know. And they're supposed to be the wonderful, loving, you know, sit around the tree and hug, sing kumbaya, smoke pot, and say everything's wonderful. You know, this is that kind of, they're sort of the modus operandi is supposed to be, right? They are the most intolerant people on the face of the earth. I mean, they absolutely hate the Christian viewpoint, and they do not want me or you to really even be able to speak our viewpoint.
Well, fortunately, I have a fairly large audience out there, people listening on stations, and of course, if they don't like me, they can turn it off. That's fine. I give them that right. But, of course, when I'm here, I'm going to say what I believe, not what people want me to say, and sometimes I will offend people, but I will always try to speak the truth. Well, anyway, I think it's exciting that you're out there. And are you getting on predominantly Christian stations or secular stations, or where are you getting your message out?
You know, it's been really quite interesting that most of my interviews have been on secular stations.
Really?
Which has been, I think, a wonderful thing. I've done a lot of Christian stuff, but a lot of secular. I've been on secular rock stations, huge rock stations, which is interesting. I forgot the name of it now. It's not in front of me, but the big rock station in L.A. had me on. They were trying to debate me on these issues. There were three of them against me. I was able to clearly prevail, based on my emails as well that I got after that show. There were a lot of people that agree with my position, very few that didn't. And I've been on all kinds of shows. I was on the Harvest Show, which is an international television show. That's a Christian show, but went all over the place. Lots of unbelievers can watch that around the world. And a lot of secular radio shows. I was even on a guy show named Mancow. I don't know if you heard of this guy.
Oh, yeah, I've heard Mancow.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy. He had me on the show as well. A lot of secular shows talking about these issues. And, you know, I think it's really been a blessing to be able to speak to millions of people and try to get them to understand. You got to take a breath, stop, rethink these things. Look at how your families are falling apart. And so it just was. And I remember when I wrote this book, I was thinking to myself, I got to do something. I'm kind of crawling out of my skin sometimes. I get so upset about what's happening. Of course, I speak at colleges and pro family rallies and pro marriage rallies and all that stuff. And been on the radio before the book, of course, for many years. But I said, you know, I got to write something that people can understand, whether they're a believer or not, and logically explain to them why abortion is wrong, why we need to have sovereignty in our nation, why taxes should be low. You know, all these topics that we've been wrestling with over the last 40 or 50 years. And when I was done with the book, I said to myself, you know, this book is something anybody can read, whether they have a high education level or not a high education level, and understand it, make very strong arguments, and empower people to make the argument to their neighbor when they're just sitting around talking about issues. And believe it or not, I do believe that it makes a difference when the public begins to be educated and begins to share with their neighbors. It makes a difference. It changes the viewpoints. And we have more influence than we believe.
Well, I think that the major thing is to know how to counter the liberal arguments, because sometimes they sound so convincing, unless you stop and think about them and ponder it a little bit, or unless somebody has written the answers, as you have obviously done. Why, you know, it takes too much trouble for most people, but once they understand the truth and they understand why freedom is better than collectivism, why morality is necessary for the preservation of a society, and why, of course, we all need to be answerable to somebody other than to ourselves, at that point they can begin to discuss these things intelligently and hopefully begin to influence others. And it's going to have to be done one person at a time, one person informing another person who informs another person, if there's any hope, of course, of having revival and taking America back.
I think that's true. And I do believe there is hope because we had a great foundation in this country. I think when you get out there and you express to people understanding, you know, because the liberals are so good at their high platitudes in which they use the complicated language to make the average people feel they're such elitist and they're so smart. You know, it takes a village, all this kind of nonsense. And what I do is I say, look, what I do in my book is I say, look, analyze what is their position. Here's their position. Does this make sense? Let me tell you why it doesn't make sense. Here's why it doesn't make sense. Here's what does make sense. And it's very difficult to argue against what I've written because I wrote the principles of the scripture. I didn't use a lot of Christianese. You understand what I mean by that?
Sure.
Like, you know, sort of Christian terminology. If I wanted anybody who's a believer or an unbeliever to read this book to understand, okay, you know, there's a lot of folks that are sitting on the fence. They're not really involved politically or...
David, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylamines, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188. Call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Dry, cracked heels used to be a real problem for me, especially in the summer when I wear sandals. My husband would say, "Your heels are like sandpaper." But then my podiatrist gave me Calyx ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and smooths cracked heels and calluses using natural enzymes. Calyx never stings or burns and made my heels baby soft. Now they look and feel great. If you have calluses or dry, cracked heels, try Calyx ointment. You can find it at Walgreens and Long's in the foot care section.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America. 5 hours every day, I've radio, internet, shortwave, and satellite, trying to educate people about what's really going on. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927 for a suggested gift of $20 a month, or really whatever you can afford. Why, you'll get our four best tapes in the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us reach others with the truth about what's going on in America. Now, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get the video or the DVD that goes with that. If you want to understand what's going on in Iraq, you need, of course, first of all, to get our three pamphlet set. They're actually my newsletters we put into pamphlet form, and they're only $9.95 for all three of them. And it's called Foreknowledge 911. They knew ahead of time. They left the people there to die. How can we demonstrate that? Well, you read it and you'll see the quotation from a high-ranking member of the CIA who, in all effect, for intents and purposes, admits that our intelligence agencies were behind what happened. So, and then, of course, you'd certainly want to get some of the books we carry, some of the tape sets we carry, books like The War on Terror or Inside Job or Cover Up, all of these books and many more are available through Radio Liberty. If you want to intelligence and later by American intelligence, and how Hamas was financed by Israel and the United States, those wicked people in Hamas, and of course, you know, the part that we have played in bringing this whole thing about. I mean, how did Ayatollah Khomeini get into power? Why, the CIA toppled the Shah and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 1979. Why would we have done anything that stupid? Well, because we had to have an enemy, and because I believe everything's on a timeline. One of the best books and most informative books we have is called See No Evil by Robert Baer, and it was from that book that the movie Syriana with George Clooney came. The movie doesn't follow the book very closely, but you really want to read the book because it'll give you tremendous insight into what really happened when Hezbollah back in 1983 blew up the American embassy in Beirut and blew up the Marine barracks, and we knew ahead of time, and we didn't try to stop it, and we concealed the information afterwards, just as we concealed the information about what happened to TWA Flight 800 in 1996, as we concealed the truth about what happened to the Murrah Building in 1995. If you have not yet seen the video, Jihad in America, you need to get it. You'll actually see the footage shot in 1989 with Abdullah Azzam. The head of Al-Qaeda was in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, talking about Jihad in America. A footage, I suspect, was shot by the FBI. You'll see the FBI agents in 1992 and 1993 talking about the Islamic radicals here in the United States, even at that time. Nothing as it appears to be. We're finding out now, of course, this story about how they were going to blow up all the planes, and, of course, the British stopped this attack. Was it really a significant thing? Let me tell you, they didn't even bother to wake up President Bush when they went in to arrest all these people. They didn't tell the President of the United States that there was this terrorist plan. Ladies and gentlemen, they knew about it all along. They didn't want to wake the president up because this is simply another example of this whole scam. Of course, it's being used to take away our freedom. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media via formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul taste, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Life Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and, our guest is Webster Tarpley, who's written a wonderful book about 911, and we'll be telling you a little bit more about that. And then, of course, recently Mr. Tarpley has appeared in the Alex Jones special that was broadcast, I think, 3 or 4 times by C-SPAN across America, talking about what really happened on 911 and suggesting that we have not been told the truth. And the implications of that are that if the government knew ahead of time and left those people there to die, that is unconscionable. If they really knew that the attack was coming, or perhaps if they were even complicit in it, that changes the entire complexion of what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in Iraq, and certainly what's going on in the war in the Near East today. Mr. Tarpley, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and about the book you've written and what your views are on what happened on 911.
Well, I guess I can start by saying that I'm primarily a historian. I worked as a journalist for many years, including in Central Europe. I lived through terrorism in the form of the Italian Red Brigades and the German Baader-Meinhof Group in the 70s and 80s, living in places like the Frankfurt area of Germany, the Rhine-Main area, and then in Rome and Milan in Italy. And I actually was invited in 1978 by a member of the Italian government to write a study of the kidnapping and murder of the former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro, which had taken place in the spring of 1978. And he had been held captive by the Red Brigades for about 2 months. And then his body was found in the trunk of a car about 2 blocks from where I had my office in downtown Rome at the time. And generally what I learned out of all this experience is that terrorism is a staged, orchestrated, synthetic, fake, fabricated phenomenon. It's something that is created by secret intelligence agencies. When you get into the spectacular realms of international terrorism and things that, you know, span continents, it's almost never the case that this has something to do with or grows exclusively, let's say, out of a sociological phenomenon. It's spontaneous. It's almost never spontaneous. You can always, almost always, find the hand of some intelligence agency in it. Certainly when you have sort of national resistance terrorism of the type that we've seen, say, by the Palestinians or on the parts of the colonial peoples back in the 50s and 60s, that is a different story. That can be spontaneous sort of grassroots phenomenon, but when you see something like the Moro assassination or the killings by the Baader-Meinhof Group or the killings of, say, Rajiv and Indira Gandhi in India or 9-11, it's almost never, and in this case not at all, spontaneous. These are all the products of secret intelligence agencies. So I then went on to write in 1992 the unauthorized biography of George Bush, which was quite a bestseller. At the time, it sold about 25,000 copies in about 2 months, which was fairly respectable. This is the book people may know. You can actually see this on the internet. You can read it for free if you want to. It's on a website that I have called tarpley.net, www.tarpley.net, and that has been up for almost 10 years. In October of this year, 2006, it will be a 10-year anniversary for that book being posted online, making that, I think, the oldest continuous anti-Bush website in the world. So what do we find there? I'll just give three short examples.
Oh, we are going to have to hold that thought for just a minute, because we're going to lose a few of our stations for a few minutes and bring another one on. We'll be right back. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant. It protects our immune system. But we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radiativity, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the Radiativity Health Catalog.
Yes, there is a choice, a real alternative, when it comes to news and information. The GCN Radio Network has become a world leader for those who want to know the truth. Visit GCNLive.com today and discover the amazing benefit of becoming a subscriber to the GCNLive.com Radio Club. By becoming a monthly subscriber, you gain access to higher quality audio streams of all of the compelling GCN broadcasts. A full archive of the shows are posted on a daily basis within 3 hours, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, fast forward, rewind, pause, and at the same time, you are supporting a beacon of free speech. Visit GCNLive.com and become a member. It's so easy. There's a choice. There is an alternative, and it's called GCNLive.com. Visit GCNLive.com today. You can also get the entire month of your favorite show on MP3 CD that plays on computers and most CD and DVD players for only $19.95. Go to GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Mr. Webster Tarpley, and we're talking about Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current occupant of the White House, and how, of course, Mr. Prescott Bush was in charge of one of the largest banks on Wall Street, the Brown Brothers Harriman, and how Brown Brothers Harriman was intimately associated with many of the Nazi corporations and Fritz Thyssen, who actually helped to finance Hitler and bring him to power. And many of these Nazi corporations were certainly responsible for the terrible atrocities of actually working people to death in their factories, financed certainly for Adolf Hitler, but directly under the control many times of American corporations that had strong ties to Wall Street. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, I think that's about right. Let me then go, just add to that. I mean, we could go on with that for a while, because the significant thing there is that the money, the Auschwitz money, you might say, is still part of the family fortune of the Bushes. So they have that sort of tainted money in their family funds. We've also got then the question of Watergate, George Bush is a Bush the Elder was a big important Watergate figure, and he was the person mentioned by Nixon in the smoking gun tape. I mean, if you go back and look at the smoking gun tape, the tape that had been discovered in early August of 1974 that forced Nixon finally to quit, right, to resign, it's a series of proposals about obstruction of justice involving the Texans, a group of financiers who had been conduiting money into Nixon's committee to re-elect the president. There's the infamous creep. And it turns out that George Bush and his business partner of those days, Carl Liebke of Pennzoil, were the Texans. So when the smoking gun tape came out, Nixon, Bush was very happy on the one hand that Nixon was going to be ousted because he wanted him out. He thought he could gain something. He actually thought he could seize the vice presidency as Ford moved up. There would be a vacancy, and Bush intended to run for that, to try to get himself chosen. But he was also very dismayed because it meant that if anybody had chosen to make these connections, it would have been clear that George Bush was the central figure talked about in the smoking gun tape. So I think that's a very, very interesting one. And then thirdly, especially interesting for people who liked Ronald Reagan, when we go back and look at the attempt to kill President Reagan in the spring of 1981, we find this being done by John Hinckley Jr. Then we find John Hinckley Jr. having an elder brother, a guy called Scott Hinckley, who was a close personal friend of Neil Bush, the brother of the current fellow in the White House and the son of Bush the Elder. So Neil Bush, people remember him from the Silverado savings and loan, right? He ended up costing the taxpayers something between $3 and $5 billion because of his speculations. So it turns out, therefore, that the son of the vice president who stood to succeed to the presidency was in close personal contact with the elder brother of the guy who did the shooting and the would-be killing. So that's something that really would have merited a special prosecutor. But, of course, there was no such thing, because when Bush the Elder got back to the White House that afternoon, he had been traveling when Reagan was shot. He presided over a cabinet decision where, on the basis of very limited information, or almost none, they came forward and said there was no conspiracy. John Hinckley Jr. was a deranged loner, and he acted alone. He was a lone assassin. He was in the tradition of Lee Harvey Oswald. So maybe those three, Prescott, Bush, and the Nazis, the smoking gun tape, and Bush the Elder, and then this very strange configuration around the attempt to kill President Reagan, which would have catapulted Bush the Elder into the presidency already in 1981 rather than in 1989. So that book, I think, has fundamentally shaped the way that people see the Bush family, right? When you hear people talking about the Bush crime family and so forth, it's generally based on this kind of analysis. And then we come to the current situation with synthetic terrorism. In other words, the attempt by the elites of the British and U.S. Financier communities to somehow use synthetic terrorism as the organizing principle of this society to justify a hierarchical, plutocratic, unjust social order, fundamentally, and all the excesses that they're building in, all the tendencies towards totalitarianism and regimentation and police state measures, surveillance, the suppression of dissent. They've somehow decided that the way to do that is to stage a series of spectacular terrorist attacks and blame that on whoever their target of the moment may be. This was, I think you could see this coming back in the mid-1990s with Samuel Huntington and his book, The Clash of Civilizations. And Huntington is an important person. In some ways, he seems to be the most important thinker in the ruling elite, in the sense that when he writes these scenarios, things tend to happen along the lines that he suggests. So anyway, he says, We need an enemy image in order to have a cohesive society. We can't justify all the things we want to do unless we can always sort of export the tensions to a foreign enemy. So we need a new enemy. The communists were that for some decades, but no longer. The Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union are gone, and China is no longer an ideological enemy. So So he says what we've got to do is, read between the lines. He doesn't quite say it in so many words, but we have to target the Arab and Islamic worlds, and they are targeted not because they're attacking the United States or the West, but simply because their demographic growth, their population growth is so rapid that they're going to be competitors for important resources, raw materials and so forth, and oil, which some of those countries tend to control. So they're doubly targeted. And then, beyond that, that's the first challenger civilization that Huntington wants to deal with. The second one is China. And he says the problem with China, again, is not that there's military aggression coming from China, but that they have a very high rate of economic growth, 10 or 12%, sometimes faster than anybody in the world. Right? And they outproduce the U.S. in steel by 3.5 to 1 and other interesting statistics. So he says that's the second one we've got to get rid of. And then the Wolfowitz doctrine kicks in, because Wolfowitz, in his last days in power back in 1992, had put forward this notion that you've always got to pay attention to Russia, because Russia has the military ability to defend itself, right, and to deliver strong retaliatory blows. So out of that, you get the desire by these elite groups to always have recourse to military solutions. It's one of the interesting things about neocon thinking is that whenever they're faced with a problem, the answer is always war. These are one-trick ponies, and you can see that the sameness, the obsessive, repetitive quality of everything they do, right? They attack Iraq and it fails, and their answer to their terrible, critical situation, really, in Iraq, is to say, well, what we need is a wider war. We're losing because we didn't attack Iran and Syria and so forth. And, of course, should they do these things, they will find themselves in an even greater military defeat and catastrophe than what they have now.
Well, now, Chris, are you suggesting that George Bush is not really running things, that there is a force behind the scenes that really is controlling world events, and the president is not the major leader of our country?
I think that's certainly true. The only question is you know, how does it actually work? The U.S. presidency, if you look at the last 125 years or so, you see that the U.S. puppet presidency and vice presidency, too, is a puppet position. I think it was Richard Morris, Clinton's pollster, who he actually wrote a book behind the Oval Office, or was it above the Oval Office? Anyway, the important thing is to see the president essentially as a plausible spokesman, at times a puppet, somebody who reads speeches, somebody who makes pre-programmed decisions in a kind of a ceremonial way, choosing among options that have been carefully screened and prepared by the palace guard. The presidency is an extraordinarily weak institution most of the time, and it was made weaker by that post-Franklin D. Roosevelt amendment, which has the term limits, right? The two-term presidency has made the presidency even weaker than it was previously. The exceptions, of course, to this are the strong personalities, the Lincolns, the Franklin D. Roosevelts, the Kennedys. But then you see with Kennedy, it's very interesting. The Kennedy assassination of 1963 is prefigured 30 years before by an attempt to assassinate Franklin D. Roosevelt as he was coming into the presidency. When he was still president-elect, he was in Miami, Florida, and he was conferring with the mayor of Chicago, a guy called Chernak, and they had a patsy on the scene, a deranged anarchist, and gunshots were fired, and the mayor of Chicago was killed, and Roosevelt survived. But it was clear that the group that did this was, in effect, the J.P. Morgan financier group. In other words, the Wall Street group didn't want Roosevelt because they feared, and they were correct, that he might try to actually carry out the constitutional potentials of the presidency. And then when Kennedy tried to revive that same kind of thinking in 1963, he was also liquidated. So those are the two main exceptions. And I would take this back to, I think you can talk, and I do talk about an invisible government, a rogue network, a secret team, the deep state, the fifth column, parallel government, all kinds of terms for this. A lot of them coined during Iran-Contra back in the 80s. But I would take it back to about 1895.
Well, for our listeners out there, when I went through Colonel House's papers at Yale University, I came across a letter that FDR had sent to Colonel House where he says, you know, our government has been owned by financial interests in major centers going all the way back to the time of Jackson. Now, he's writing this letter in 1933, going all the way back to the time of Andrew Jackson. And I'm not excluding the presidency of WW, meaning Woodrow Wilson. Anybody would like to see that letter would be glad to send you a copy. I found it there in Colonel House's papers. Roosevelt understood that the government was controlled by others, and he was simply a puppet, or to be a puppet. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycoside NS.
What's Mycoside NS?
Mycoside NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst-looking thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycoside NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycoside NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycoside definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycoside NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Mr. Tarpley. Well, this is Arthur Stan. Webster has really done a tremendous amount of work on the history of our nation, the relationship between the invisible government, the financial powers, and he was just talking about, of course, taking us into now the Spanish-American War, and that was in 1898, when supposedly why the battleship Maine was attacked in the harbor of Havana by the Spanish, and they sunk it with a mine, but it wasn't true. I mean, there was an internal explosion on the Maine went down, and that was the provocation for going to war with Spain and of course, conquering Cuba and conquering Puerto Rico and conquering the Philippines with the murder of between 200,000 and a million to a million and a half Filipinos as we brought freedom to those little yellow men over there in that distant island. And I dare say there's not one in 100,000 Americans who's ever studied the Spanish-American War and realized that we killed between 200,000 and a million to a million and a half Filipinos, liberating them. Go ahead, Webster.
That's an episode, a very sad one that
really
they've often papered over. So again, the invisible government consolidated in 1895 when Grover Cleveland capitulates to the House of Morgan. This, by the way, this is the cross of gold. This is what William Jennings Bryan is so upset about in the 1896 election campaign, crucifying mankind on a cross of gold. What he's referring to is that the Morgan power has essentially taken over in Washington, and the government you see is not the real government, but the real government is in the Morgan partners' offices back in Wall Street. So 1898, the Maine is blown up. This is the attempt to found an empire. The British are behind this because they're looking at the Spanish Empire as something that's going to collapse, and the British are very much afraid that Germany is going to get the Philippines and other key pieces of the collapsing Spanish Empire, so they want to move the U.S. into the role of taking it over so that it won't be used against them. And this is Rudyard Kipling's infamous poem, Take Up the White Man's Burden. What he means by that is it's time for the United States to assume control of the Spanish Empire to prevent the rivals of Britain, especially Germany, from getting it. And then in, 1901, we have William McKinley, still president. He's a kind of a traditionalist. He doesn't like imperialism. He's not interested in an empire, really. He's been forced to do it by the Hearst Press in the Spanish-American War. He is assassinated at Buffalo by an anarchist called Czolgosz, who is he is run through Emma Goldman, the famous anarchist. He's his case officer. In other words, he's prepped at Emma Goldman's settlement house for what he's going to do in Buffalo, going there to kill President McKinley. And then we get, I think, one of the worst of all presidents in my book, Theodore Roosevelt, who is somebody who, according to one of his controllers, Cecil Spring Rice of the British Empire, of the British Embassy, is somebody who has a mental age between 5 and 6. So he's easily manipulable. He's got a very, very short attention span. Above all, he's a racist, he's an imperialist, he doesn't like the Chinese, the Spanish, he has all of these strong hatreds. Interestingly enough, he is pro-Japanese against Russia. Very interesting story. You wouldn't think he would be, based on his, you know, color schemes in race relations, but this is because the British were interested in busting up the Russian Empire, and were actually using Japan in the Far East to do that under the British Japanese Treaty of 1903, set up by King Edward VII. So, yeah, I guess then this entire phase, it comes to a culmination when, in World War I, of course, J.P. Morgan is lending money like mad to the British and the French to finance the war and, of course, to make these colossal speculative profits. In about the end of 1916, J.P. Morgan goes to Woodrow Wilson and says, we've got to have the United States enter the war because the British and the French are approaching the point of collapse and bankruptcy, and if they lose, we won't get our money back, and the United States will be bankrupt too. So it doesn't take much convincing for Woodrow Wilson, because you remember that he had the only way Woodrow Wilson could get into office was for Theodore Roosevelt to come back out of retirement and split the Republican Party, securing the defeat of Taft. And this was done. This is the so-called Bull Moose Party. And that was a J.P. Morgan operation from beginning to end, and everybody knew it. It practically had the whole thing written all over it. So, again, if you look down in 1933, you've got this attempt to kill Franklin D. Roosevelt by the same Morgan group. In 1933, you've got something that's known on the Internet as the Morgan coup. an attempt to have a fascist march on Rome, except it's a march on Washington.
You're talking about, of course, General Smedley Butler.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's General Smedley Butler is the guy that they offer him the leadership of this. He's to be the man on horseback, but he turns out to be a patriotic citizen. And he says, I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to serve the invisible government. So
that's a plot, a book. I think The Plot to Seize the White House was
right.
Quite famous. Go ahead.
The Morgan Coup, 1933. So that's essentially what then brings you in the post-war period, things like the Bay of Pigs, the Kennedy assassination, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Iran-Contra drug running and gun running, the bombing of Serbia in 1990, the destruction of the Russian submarine Kursk.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
United States Pharmacopoeia, USP, sets the standard for most food supplements and are used in over 95% of all vitamin and mineral supplements in the world. The problem is that these products have never appeared in any living tissue. They're created in laboratories and are not recognizable to the body's metabolism. Grown by Nature products are different because they use renatured ingredients, proprietary blends of essential vitamins and minerals with cofactors of proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates. Over 50 studies have been conducted on renatured nutrients, and over 20 have been published in peer-reviewed journals proclaiming their superiority. As a result, Grown by Nature vitamins and supplements are now recognized as simply the best available. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Grown by Nature products today. We are what we eat, and since we are of nature, we should eat foods in their natural form. Only Grown by Nature offers a full line of renatured nutrients. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, because not all products are grown by nature, but they should be.
That's Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Webster is simply pointing out that the 19 terrorists never could have flown those planes. In fact, really what's so interesting is that several of them were attending the Monterey Language School here across the bay from where I am, and it was immediately after the 911 attack that the commanding officer of that, he was a lieutenant colonel as I remember, went on the radio or television and said this was obviously an inside job. I mean, and nobody ever found out why he said that. It was immediately transferred. They were going to, of course, to court-martial, and to my knowledge, they didn't. But Alex Jones, who is a talk show host and a friend of ours, actually got hold of this lieutenant colonel and asked him what it was about, and he said, well, three of those terrorists were attending the language school here. Another three, of course, were being trained at Pensacola, living on the naval base there. But I bet you never heard that from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. But anybody who's actually seen this program, which was broadcast on C-SPAN, we recommend it. And go ahead.
Yes, it was on four times, and you can buy it from Alex Jones at InfoWars. He claims his version is better because he has four cameras, whereas C-SPAN only has two. But you can get it from C-SPAN. You can also get it from 911 Blogger, I believe. You can get a version of it there. So I think it is an important milestone towards 9/11 truth. So anyway, we've got basically all of the problems with the patsies. These cannot be the perpetrators. They just don't have the physical, technical capability to do it. Then we begin to look at the collapse of the trade towers. This is clearly by now established as an example of controlled demolition. The best paper to read, I guess, is Professor Stephen Jones, who was part of that C-SPAN discussion, and his model posits a combined classical controlled demolition using small explosive charges to destroy key points in the internal structure of the building, plus the use of thermite or thermate to cut through these columns, because the big problem in the collapse of the buildings is they have 47 or 48 extremely strong steel columns in the middle of the building, and there is no power in an airplane crash or burning fuel that could ever dice those huge columns into neat 25-yard sections so they could simply be loaded onto a truck, which is pretty much then what happened. So that's obviously got to be wrong. Then we have World Trade Center 7, the reductio ad absurdum of the whole day. Here's a building about 55 stories tall, I think. Very big building. In most cities would be the biggest. And it's never hit by an airplane. It has no significant fire, and it collapses at 5:30 in the afternoon, with the fact that it's going to collapse being broadcast on television and indeed announced in a certain way by Silverstein, the owner of this complex.
But, of course, the interesting thing was the whole base of the building suddenly explodes. The whole base of the building, all around the building explodes, and then the building goes down. Obviously, a controlled demolition. There was no instance in all history where a steel-reinforced building has ever come down, you know, after a fire. That just doesn't occur. I mean, they can burn for days and days, but they don't come down. And
I mean, we can move on to the Pentagon. At the Pentagon, the big problem is the government claims it was one of these Boeing jetliners that had been hijacked, and the problem is they're withholding from 5 to 85 different surveillance cameras of all the buildings and all the roads and all the gas stations in that whole area, which means Alexandria, Virginia, Crystal City, Virginia, Pentagon City, Virginia. It's a very highly surveilled area. They withhold all of that. They only let you see frames that don't show whatever the flying object was, if any. There are explosions in the Pentagon before the flying object, if any, arrives. The Pentagon should be one of the best defended buildings in the world. Somebody obviously turned off the surface-to-air missiles. And the main problem is the hole in the side of the Pentagon is much too small to accommodate a large Boeing jet. You don't find the parts that would typically survive, the jet engines, the landing gear, maybe part of the tail. And again, none of this adds up. It's an impossible construct that they're offering you.
And I think the important thing is there were surface-to-air missiles on the Pentagon. Why weren't they used that day? They've been there. They're always there. They're always active. And nobody ever talked about those surface-to-air missiles. America's under attack, and somebody obviously gave an order to stand down.
Yes, on the stand down, we have, of course, the 1 hour and 45 to 1 hour and 50 minutes with absolutely no air defense. That's another one of the glaring inconsistencies of this. I should have mentioned it earlier. If you look in the current issue of Vanity Fair magazine, you'll find tapes that essentially reproduce conversations among defense personnel. Right? These are NORAD people. They're working at the Northeast Air Defense Sector in Rome, New York. They're low-level people. Some of them are sergeants. Some of them are field-grade officers. And what you see from this, which I think also makes me believe these are authentic, because they could easily be doctored or completely manufactured, is they're all talking about the fact that there's an exercise going on that day where a plane is going to be hijacked. So there's an exercise. And this, I think, is a fundamental part of the way I look at it, is that when you see a terrorist attack, and at the same time you discover that there's a drill, an exercise going on through the military security bureaucracy that is practically identical with that terrorist attack, then you have to have a strong suspicion that the terrorist attack is being run through, bootlegged through, conduited through the official military security bureaucracy under the cover, the camouflage, of a legally sanctioned drill. And it turns out that on that morning, there were 15 plus, we could get up to 20, 25 if you wanted, depending on how you wanted to count this, different kinds of drills going on.
Military drills.
Military drills and terror drills. And they basically cover every aspect of the of these events. There's one drill at the National Reconnaissance Office, which is how to crash a plane into a building. And that's, I think we have to assume that this satellite imaging agency there, the NRO, had an important role in making sure that the planes crashed into the buildings, because this is not easy to obtain. It has to be planned. It has to be managed. Amalgam Virgo, the firing of a cruise missile from a barge or a freighter in the Atlantic or the Gulf, hitting a land target. This is very easily transposed into what happened at the Pentagon. It could be an air, ground, or indeed water-launched cruise missile.
And, of course, didn't this actually confuse the air traffic controllers, because they didn't know whether this was a military exercise,
yes,
or a real hijacking?
If you look in the, I urge people to look in this new material now in Vanity Fair, August issue. They're always confused. They're always saying, is this real world or is this the drill? Is this the drill again or is it the real world? One of them says, I have a damned implant on my radar screen. In other words, an artificial blip put in to make it look like an airplane that had been hijacked. This is how we get not four aircraft reported hijacked, but 29. 29 reported and reputed hijacks at the height of this affair. And again, I would point to these exercises like Vigilant Guardian, Vigilant Warrior, Northern Vigilance, Northern Guardian, Apollo Guardian, Crown Vigilance. It's a series of 6 to 8 different air defense exercises, which had the cumulative effect of transporting about two-thirds of the available fighter planes from the Boston to Washington corridor all the way to Alaska, northern Canada, Keflavik, Iceland, and indeed, most interesting, the illegal no-fly zone over northern Iraq. So they were fighter planes that could have been defending Washington and New York that were over the Kurdish enclave of northern Iraq, defending that under these Bush administration policies. So you've got all that. Just a quick mention of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There we have this propaganda story the government has made up about the passengers. It could well be that the passengers had somehow taken over control of the aircraft. The problem you have is that you're not sure that there were ever any hijackers on board. There's no way to established that any of those accused hijackers ever got anywhere near one of these planes, but it's possible also that there had been some kind of remote control, Global Hawk technology used to try to direct this plane towards some target, and it may be that the passengers were able to overcome or overwhelm that system. But at any rate, what seems to have happened to that plane is that it was shot down by a U.S. military aircraft, and that's why the wreckage is strewn over an 8-mile path on a very, very calm day, and that it was not simply a self-contained revolt of the passengers that crashed it into the ground with Jara, I guess the pilot, trying to crash it into the ground of Pennsylvania. So you can multiply this. Now, we've probably ticked off 6 or 8 of the main ones, but it's all completely fantastic. In other words, it's a construct where nothing fits together. None of the components match any others. So therefore, I think it has to be rejected. And we also have now a big scandal. In the Washington Post of last week, we find that the Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow Commission, 2 years ago, before they issued their main finding, were very well aware that Pentagon generals, people like Larry Arnold and Colonel Marr from NORAD in particular, had been lying to them blatantly and repeatedly, falsifying timelines, making things up. And the big question was, would they seek perjury indictments? And, of course, they said, no, we won't seek any perjury indictments. We'll pass this over to the inspectors general of the Pentagon and the Department of Transportation. But they then, those IGs, turned around and said, oh, no, no perjury, nothing to indict. And that was contained in a report. It was a cover-up report that was issued secretly inside the Pentagon in May of 2005, more than a year ago, This was only made public when the issue became important in the first week of August of this year, a few days ago.
But of course, Webster, they cannot tell the American people the truth. I mean, we know, and we even have a picture of the passport of one of the hijackers who is supposedly on that plane in Pennsylvania that somehow got out of the flaming wreckage of the plane and drifted down and was found there on the ground adjacent to the crash site, and somebody put the picture of it up on the FBI website where it was for a few days, and then it was obviously planted. I mean, nothing in the way of a passport. The only thing that survived is the passport of one of the hijackers. I figured maybe they took it off the FBI website because they figured maybe even the stupid American people wouldn't buy that.
Well, I think that's very much to the point. The problem as I cite some interesting Italian discussions of these things in my book, the great advantage of terrorism for a ruling elite is that when you introduce it for the first time, it has a tremendous shock effect. But as time goes on, that shock effect, which had been the great trump card of terrorism as a means of political control, necessarily tends to get eroded because people begin to catch on. They begin to see. They become, they would say, cynical. I would say they become realistic and begin to see the way the world actually is. Right? The exercise of human reason tends to reassert itself. And that's where we are now. Now, we're here, I guess, whether we're broadcasting today or...
No, this is a live broadcast.
It's a live broadcast. Well, here we are. It's the 10th of August. So last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time here where I am, we began to get on cable television the reports that a huge plot had been discovered at Heathrow Airport in London, and that it was the intrepid seneschals of truth and justice, MI5, MI6, Scotland Yard, the British police, the British authorities, had foiled a nefarious plot, which was going to be to blow up 10 airliners over the North Atlantic and kill, therefore, between 2,000 and 3,000 people, something on the scale of 9/11 or even bigger. And, well, how were they going to do this? There was going to be to take three or some undetermined number of liquids on board these airplanes. These are all liquids that are completely harmless in their own right. One of them seems to be something like Gatorade, if you can believe this, and that somehow you're going to mix these things into a cocktail, and somehow the cocktail becomes an explosive, and then you blow up the plane. This is already fantastic. This is a recycled version in some ways of the so-called Bojinka plot, which was alleged back in the mid-90s, and I think this was one or other of these famous patsies, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, or whoever he was, who, by the way, the U.S. government claims to be holding. They've never produced him. They wouldn't even produce him for the Mousawi trial. They were trying to convict Mousawi and get him executed. And in the getting him executed phase, they could have brought in Mousawi to, not Mousawi, but Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And they didn't do it. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed never showed his face in a U.S. Courtroom. But anyway, right now, we are now about, 18 hours after the first revelations of this London plot. And so far, the amount of detail that has been furnished in this is absolutely zero. We don't know a single name. We don't know what the substances were. We don't know what is this mysterious chemical cocktail that you can use to blow up airplanes. We're told that two or three people have been arrested in Pakistan, that some 20 have been arrested in Britain, and that there are raids going on all the time, right? The British, who used to be, in some ways, the least police state, at least on the surface, right, with cops that didn't even carry guns. Now London is crawling with SWAT teams with machine guns and grenade launchers and all the rest of this stuff. It's very, very crude. And you would say, well, who did it? Nobody. They have no names. They have not produced a single suspect, a single name, and they haven't told you how it was going to be done. But there has been now a tremendous upheaval in the entire North Atlantic air traffic. Heathrow has turned into an absolute chaos and pandemonium, and that has now been visited also on the United States, because we're told now you're not going to be allowed to take a bottle of water onto an airliner anymore. And this is rough, of course, because the airliners don't give you anything anymore. You're not allowed to take your own bottle of water. People who might want to take a hip flask on an airliner are not allowed to do it. No whiskey, no wine, Hair tonic is forbidden. Body lotion, some lotion to rub on your face, also strictly forbidden. The whole line of liquid cosmetics for women, forbidden. This is just amazing.
Well, you know, the most amazing thing is, Webster, that at 2 o'clock in the morning when this was announced, they didn't even bother to wake President Bush up. They said it wasn't that important. They'd already known about it, so they didn't bother to wake him up. I mean, you would think that this would be something of stupendous news for the President of the United States, so he could immediately mobilize things to protect us from the wicked terrorists, and they didn't even bother to wake him up.
He could have gotten up and issued a proclamation declaring war on bottled water, hip flasks, lotions, cosmetics, detergents.
It was Edward Bernays writing back in the 1920s who said, you know, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Edward Bernays, the father of modern-day propaganda. And I don't think anything's changed at all.
Well, we're now waiting. We're waiting for the British to come forward with who these are. Now, I just make a couple of little predictions, if I can. Everybody in the world who studies these things knows that the British have schools for patsies. They have a place called Brixton Mosque in London, Finsbury Mosque. And these are two mosques that are controlled by the British intelligence services. And what those guys do is to send imams into the prisons and recruit the poor, hopeless, desperate wretches that are there and turn them into terrorists. So Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was a mentally retarded, homeless man who was sleeping on the floor of one of those mosques who was, you know, taken up and turned into the shoe bomber, even though he didn't do a very good job as a shoe bomber.
He couldn't even light the fuses going into the shoe. Webster, what's the name of the book again?
It's 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, and you can get it from Amazon.com. And you can also get my unauthorized biography of George Bush.
Oh, that's off right there.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NDC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com. alexjugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
Well, that's Dr. Stan here, and I hope you enjoyed Webster Tarpley. If you'd like to get a tape of the entire program, of course, it's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. It is so horrible to contemplate that the thought that maybe some people knew ahead of time there was going to be an attack and didn't try to stop it. Well, is this really possible? Well, let me suggest you read the book. It's entitled See No Evil, written by Robert Baer, 25 years in the CIA. The book was actually behind the movie Syriana with George Clooney in it. And there in the foreword, Robert Baer, 25 years with the CIA, the book cleared by the Central Intelligence Agency. Robert Baer quotes one of the highest-ranking CIA officials who says, "When the smoke settles, the American people will recognize that what happened on 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. When the smoke settles, why the American people will recognize that what happened on 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. And 3,000 people died. But it was going to lead us into World War III. That was the triumph, ladies and gentlemen, just like Pearl Harbor led us into World War II. And yet we've been financing the Germans all through the war. And if you don't believe that, there's a wonderful book called Trading with the Enemy by Hingham, H-I-N-G, I think it's Charles Hingham, pointing out how many of our major corporations financed Adolf Hitler not only before the war, but during the war. And, of course, we carry the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. You need to get that. Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. You need to get my interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. That's The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And then, of course, you need to get the book we carry, of course, by the same name, by Professor Sutton. When these are gone, they're gone. There are not going to be any more of them. But that's the best enemies money could buy. You need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out across America before we are involved in World War III. And there really are terrorist attacks here in the United States by the terror cells, which we've known are here for a long, long time and have been protected by our government. And if you doubt that, you need to get a video that was actually filmed. You'll see the CIA, by the FBI agents there. The film came out in 1994 and was immediately suppressed by your government because they didn't want you to know about the Islamic terrorist movement in the United States that was operating with the full help and support of your government. The video is called Jihad in America. We had a terrible time getting it available, but it is available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And the video is Jihad in America. We have it now in both DVD and in video form, and we encourage you to get the information. And, of course, the book, See No Evil by Robert Baer. Who created this whole Islamic terrorist movement? Why, your intelligence agencies, of course. Your tax money at work. And the book is called The Devil's Game. That's The Devil's Game, where, of course, the wonderful quote of the letter that General Nasser or Colonel Nasser sent to Jack Kennedy, President Kennedy, saying the genius of you Americans is you never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complex, stupid mistakes, so we wonder if we're missing something. And ladies and gentlemen, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Because behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will introduce you to them. The videos, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and the great new video we have, it's actually in DVD form, the Da Vinci Con. You'll want to get all of these things and so much more for Radio Liberty. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927.
Are you struggling with the hair loss problem? Then try New Hair. Why? Because we guarantee you'll regrow new hair. Here's what our satisfied customers have to say.
Since taking New Hair, I noticed darker and less gray hair. My hair is growing phenomenally. It looks and feels healthier. I'd strongly recommend New Hair.
My husband has been a customer for almost 2 years now, and we're really, really pleased with the continual hair growth.
I've been using New Hair.